Today on Hands On Photography, we're in the world of video editing, and there's a particular set of tools that I really enjoy using, and pretty much I lean on them, and I think they're going to help you out in your video editing process. So stay tuned.
Podcasts you love
from people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This episode of Hands On Photography is brought to you by Melissa. Make sure your customer contact data is up to date. Try Melissa's APIs in the developer portal. It's easy to log on, sign up, and start playing in the API sandbox 24/7. Get started today with 1,000 records cleaned for free at melissa.com/twit. Hey, what's happening, everybody? I'm Ant Pruitt, and this is Hands On Photography here on TWiT. I hope y'all are doing well. I'm unbelievable as always. Another fine Thursday where I get to sit down and help share different tips and tricks that are going to help make you a better photographer and a better post-processor and, heck, maybe even a better video shooter. That's what we're getting into today. Today we're going to dive into the world of video editing again. You know, we've been talking about it in several episodes over the last couple of months, just sort of sprinkling in video editing tips and ideas and thoughts. And today I'm going to focus more on a particular tool that I rely on quite heavily. And quite honestly, it has definitely saved my butt a couple times too on some jobs where I could have really, really made some mistakes had I not checked my particular tools here for today. What's that tool? The tool is Scopes. Yeah, Scopes inside of your video editor of choice. Now, granted, today we're going to talk about Scopes, and I'm going to use one app in particular. Yes, I am an authorized Adobe affiliate, and I still use Premiere Pro. But yes, I also like to use DaVinci Resolve, and quite frankly, I like the Scopes inside of DaVinci Resolve better for demonstration purposes. So we're going to be using DaVinci Resolve to talk about the use of Scopes and why you need them. So you can actually get DaVinci Resolve for free. So that's another benefit too. So just go to the Blackmagic website, blackmagicdesign.com, I believe, and you can download the free version of DaVinci Resolve and still follow along and check out all of this stuff that I'm going to share with you today. All right, so let's go ahead and just dive right on in. I'm going to switch my screen here. Let's see if I can do this the right way, Mr. Victor. Survey says probably no. Yes, I did it right. All right, so Scopes. If you think back to, I think it was episode 13 of Hands On Photography, I talked about a histogram. And a histogram in photography is pretty much a scope for doing your photo editing and understanding the actual exposure of the photograph at hand inside of said photo editor, whether it be Lightroom, whether it be Snapseed, Photoshop, Affinity Photo, whatever. The histogram in there is a very, very useful tool and can help you with understanding where things are a little bit too bright in the highlights or too dark in the blacks and shadows and things of that nature. And the same thing applies for the world of video. You need some type of tool to help you understand what's going on with your exposure, what's going on with the saturation and the color balance and so forth, white balance and so forth. And inside of DaVinci Resolve and most video editors, you have a group of different scopes. And I'm going to walk you through the four scopes that are here inside of DaVinci Resolve, even though I only use three of them for the most part. But let's take a look at these here scopes on the screen. All right. So right now, actually, I can do this even bigger. So I'm just going to take this down from the four box layout and I'm just going to change it over into the single box once I dive into them individually. But if we start from left to right at the top, this first one is called a waveform. And there's a couple of different views of the waveform. The waveform can be used, it's mostly used for exposure and understanding luminosity of your scene. I don't particularly do it that way for my use, but yeah, it's there for some other purposes. I get into that momentarily. Next on the right, in the upper right corner, is the vector scope. And this is another one that helps you understand saturation as well as color tone where things are shifting for different hues. This is a circle here, and it has a lot of different values around these little squares here to tell you where your image is lying on the color hue, far as like your grade goes. Like right here would be more towards the red side of things and the hues, and down here is the cyan side. And it's when we zoom in a little bit closer, you'll see some of the details. Next, on the bottom left, you have the RGB parade, and RGB is just as it is: red, green, blue, the different channels inside of your image or your frame for your video. And it's showing the level of the color intensity on those particular channels. And next is the last one, the bottom right, that is the histogram. This is one that I hardly ever use inside of video editing, and because it doesn't really make sense to me the way the other ones do for video. But again, it's still going to give you all of your three channels, your red, green, and blue, and help you understand where everything is hitting inside of your frame for your particular video. So inside of DaVinci Resolve here, I have a couple of different clips that we can walk through to sort of take a look at those different scopes and how it relates to the footage here on the screen. I got three different clips here. There's this clip of this gentleman here at a desk. Then there's this clip of some snow and someone on a snowmobile. And then there's this clip of this little girl out on the beach out in the bright sun. So let's start with this one here. This one is, and all of these are clips that I've gotten from a stock service that I pay for. So they're royalty free, and I don't have to worry about getting in trouble with YouTube takedowns and things like that. Okay. It's just stock footage. But this one here, I grabbed this one because it is a well shot image. Number one, the colors on it looks great. It's got dark, so it's got, you know, decent dynamic range. It's got some dark spots. It's got some nice bright highlight spots, and it's just really well balanced. Or is it? So as I open up my scopes here, so let's take a look at this waveform. All right. So remember, I said that the waveform is particularly used more so for measuring luminosity of your scene. Luminosity is how bright things are. And when you look at this waveform, let me pop it up now, so I'll make it a little bit bigger, and we'll just say waveform like that. Slide over. So when you're looking at the waveform on the screen, a lot of people will tend to think that the way it's laid out, that's basically representing every particular point on the frame. For example, one would assume that the left of this frame is everything that's on the left of the waveform. And it's more so of understanding, it's sort of generalized, if you will. And when you look at it a little bit closer, like for example, you take a look at this light source right here, you can see that it's right there on the waveform. And again, it's very generalized. Okay. So you can't necessarily, don't always assume that that's the light, because it's not always the case. Sometimes it's always based on luminosity. And this is a really, really hot spot of this particular area of the frame. Now, how does this make sense from a reading it standpoint? You know, what do these values mean? Down here towards the bottom, the zero, this is what is for absolute black. And then when you get to the top, this 1023 is for absolute white, the really, really bright stuff in there. Okay, so I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, man, this thing is really, really close to having the shadows crushed and having the blacks crushed. And when you look at the image, you can see that. You know, it's pretty dark around here. And sometimes that is a creative taste of the person that shot the footage. Sometimes it's a mistake, because sometimes you would like to see some of that detail there in the shadows. And another good thing about using the DaVinci Resolve scopes is I can put this little qualifier over the screen in the frame, and you'll notice there's a little circles bouncing around on the scopes that's showing where I'm pointing. Okay. So again, if I point to this little lamp up here, the little circles come up to the top of the waveform there. All right. But anyway, getting back to these shadows here, again, this dark corner down here, it looks like the shadows are crushed. And as a colorist or editor, I could look at this and say, you know what? I need to bring those shadows up because I'm looking at this waveform and it's telling me my shadows are crushed. And you can just very easily go to your offset tool or your curves tool or what have you and raise those values to where you see fit. Now, if I raise them too high, you notice it sort of starts to wash out a little bit. You lose a little bit of contrast. So again, just watch your scopes, watch your image, but I promise you, trust those scopes before you trust your eyes. Okay, so I'm going to pull it back down. Not quite to zero, but I like it right about there because that still gives it plenty of contrast and it still has really good color. Okay, so speaking of color, there's another graph to take a look at, and that's the vector scope. So I'm just going to click on this little drop down box here and select vector scope. And we get a whole different graph now. And this is a circle. And again, if you look at it, you'll see these values around these symbols around these squares. There's an M there for magenta, and it's B for blue, C for cyan, G for green, Y for yellow, and then there's the R for red. And then there's this line right here. This line is what's called a skin tone indicator. And this is just used as a reference. Okay, so basically, if you were to do a selection of skin in your frame here, it should show up right there along that line, somewhere within that line. So let me just put my pointer right here on his forehead. And yes, it's capturing right along that line. And even down to the spots where it's not as bright, doesn't have the same luminosity levels, it's still riding along those lines, even in the darker areas of his skin. And the beauty of this is this works also for people that are not black, you know, white person, what have you, because it's really cool science because he says, you know, there's blood up under the skin, so it's going to read. It blows my mind. I don't know how it does it, but it works. So black person, white person, what have you, when you're qualifying skin, you know, and you know how I feel about skin tones in our art, make sure that it tries to follow along that line. It doesn't necessarily have to be right on top of it, but it's a good guide to know that you're in the right spot for skin tones. And then if you notice, there's a bit of a cloud right here in the middle of it. If you look at the very center of the vectorscope, that's saying that you have spot on white balance. Your colors are, if everything is sort of hidden right towards the middle, you have damn near perfect white balance. And that's good. And then as you start to get into other hues showing up, this is telling me I have a little more red hues, more orange hues showing up in my image. Why? Look at the shirt. Look at this little tool back here in the background. There's plenty of it there. And then there's an overall bit of a warm hue to this anyway. So if I were to take my offset, so let's watch what happens if I take my offset and say, you know, I want to introduce more orange and warmth into this particular scene. And you'll notice that that cloud is going to move more towards that red square here in the vectorscope. Like so. Okay, now, granted, looking at that frame, that doesn't look good to me. That may be some type of stylized look someone else may take. I don't recommend that, but you know, you can do that if you want. Another thing to consider says, all right, I want to take it towards the red hue, but I want to dial it back just a touch. As you notice, the closer you get to these squares, the more saturated the image comes based on that particular hue in that square. Okay, so I'm more towards the red square, so the screen has a bit of a red saturation to it. If I were to dial that red back or just hit saturation down here at the bottom and just take the global saturation down, what should happen is that cloud in the vectorscope is going to shrink down. Okay, so everything is shrinking down. And if I take it all the way down, it should go more towards the center and get us more to a black and white image. Because remember, the center is balanced, black and white. Beautiful stuff. Okay, so I'm just going to reset that now. Get everything back to normal. There we go. All right. So that's where it was to begin with. But that's the vectorscope. That is a tool that I use very often in the color grading process for getting saturation just right, because some videos they're either not saturated enough or too saturated. And this tool will help you see where your saturation levels are, as well as keep you on the right path for making sure your skin tones are squared away. It's not necessarily dealing with luminosity and clipping of highlights or crushing of shadows, but this is still a fine detail that's just make things look so much better when you pay attention to those scopes. Now, there's some other scopes that we're going to look at, but I want to take a few moments to thank this week's fine sponsor, the folks over at Melissa. All right, look, so Melissa is the leading provider of global data quality and address management solutions. Poor data quality can cost organizations an average of $15 million a year. Look, don't waste your marketing dollars, people. Be sure to manage your budgets effectively. Be smart about this. The longer poor quality data stays in your system, the more losses you could accumulate. To ensure your business is successful, your customer information needs to be accurate and have high quality data that's going to save you time and money. There's another side to accurate data, customer service. If you address someone with the wrong name or verify the wrong address when dealing with an already angry, frustrated customer, boy, things are going to get really, really awkward. So you really got to make sure your data is up to date. Melissa recently partnered with IDPal to launch Melissa's ID for seamless contact verification in real time. Melissa ID is a unique, fully customizable, out-of-the-box SaaS solution using a multi-layered approach that includes biometrics, facial matching, liveness testing, address verification, document checks, and automated identity verification. Backed by Melissa's 37 years, it's more than 37 years, in the address standardization, correction, and verification, this new app offers coverage for over 6,000 identification documents across 200 countries and jurisdictions. Melissa ID is ideal for all types of businesses charged with reducing costs associated with customer acquisitions, operations, fulfillment, and fraud. With Melissa, you reduce risk, ensure compliance, and keep customers happy. Protect your data from decay with 2.1 billion clean validated records. Ensure compliance in areas as anti-money laundering, politically exposed persons, and bank secrecy acts. Score and target customers with detailed demographic and firmographic data appends. Complete customer records, add missing names, addresses, phone numbers, and email addresses. And it also undergoes independent security audits as Melissa is SOC 2, HIPAA, and GDPR compliant. Now, look, duplicate information also hurts your bottom line. You really don't want multiple records of the same customer in there. Look, Melissa's data quality suite will help eliminate clutter, duplicates, increasing the accuracy of your database, reducing postage and mailing costs. Melissa has batch address cleansing, process an entire address list for accuracy and completeness. Identity verification is also available. Reduce risk, ensure compliance, and keep customers happy. Geocoding enrichments is also available. Convert addresses into latitude and longitude coordinates. Boy, that's handy. Email verifications. Yes, email verification, because we know everybody screws up their email address when they're logging into something. Remove up to 95% of bad email addresses from your databases. Lookups app on iOS and Google. This is a way to search addresses, verify social security numbers, access detailed property data, and more right at your fingertips on your mobile device. That is pretty daggum cool. All right, so make sure your customer contact data is up to date. Try Melissa's APIs in the developer portal. It's easy to log on, sign up, and start playing in the API sandbox 24/7. Get started today with 1,000 records clean for free at melissa.com/twit. That's melissa.com/twit. And folks, I appreciate Melissa for all of their support of my show, Hands-On Photography. Okay, so we're back, and again, we've been talking about scopes and how to use them inside of your video editing processes. We've taken a look at the waveform, we've taken a look at the vector scope, and now I'm gonna pull up some more footage and play around with one more scope and give you some other scenarios to consider. So let me switch back to my screen here. Let's see, hit that button. Is that it? Yep, there we go. All right, so I'm going to close this window down for a second. Hop on over to this image. And I'm going to go into the RGB parade. So I'm going to click parade, pop that up, and make that a lot bigger. All right, so again, this one, I use this tool probably more than any of the other scopes. If I were to rank the scopes, I would rank RGB parade number one, vector scope number two, and waveform number three. And again, I don't even use the histogram over here. It just doesn't make any sense for me. But yeah, this one here, this scene, I wanted to show it to you because it's quite a challenging scene to shoot, number one, with your camera, whether it's photo or video, because it's snow. You're out in this mountain cap with snow and man, the bright white of the snow can really wreak havoc on trying to get your exposure right. And then you have to consider the color cast and things like that. So I wanted to play with this bit of stock footage, if I could say the words right. I wanted to play with this bit of stock footage and just show you how I would use the waveform RGB parade inside of this one here. So right now, if we look at the top of the RGB parade, there is this value of 1023. That's the max value. And you notice that there's these little lines across the top. Those are indications of those signals being clipped. And you don't want clipped signals, whether it be at the top or whether it be at the bottom of the graph. The bottom is when they're crushed. You don't want that. You want a clean signal coming in for all of your channels. So the very first thing I'm going to do is just bring everything down into a normal range. And there's an easy way to do that inside of the offset here is just drag everything down like that. Okay, so I've gotten it away from that 1023 line, you know, but it's still a little bit of clipping going on in the red. I'll get into that in another episode. The next thing to consider is if I'm looking at this image, okay, it looks a little bit on the magenta and purple side, even though I know that's snow. And yes, it looks like it could potentially be the golden hour, so that's going to affect some things. But what if the client that you're working with sees this image and they say, you know what, we need this to be white? So that's telling me, okay, I need some sort of balance in here. So I can tell it's out of balance just from, yes, eyeballing it in this particular instance, but sometimes you're not going to be able to see it. What you need to do is take a look at your scopes. And if you look over here at the scopes, the tops of these values, they're not quite balanced out. They're pretty close, but they're not quite balanced out. And then even down here at the bottom, here in the shadow area, you can see that they're still not quite balanced out. There's a little bit more pushed up in the red channel versus in the blue channel. So the blue channel being pushed more down in the shadow area, you'll notice down here in the shadow area of the image, it's got a bit of a blue hue. So you can fix that. Inside of the DaVinci Resolve, we've talked about this before, you have the lift gamma and gain. Let me move myself off of the screen here for a second. We'll just push myself up there. There we go. We have this lift, the gamma, and the gain here. And essentially, in layman's terms, think of lift as the shadows. Think of gamma as the midtones. Think of gain as your highlight area, that third section of this spectrum here. And when you look at the graph here, think of the first third, the lower third, is your shadows. The middle third is the midtones, or gamma, and the upper third is the highlights or the gain. Okay, so let's get some of this blue out of here and try to get this a little bit more balanced. So I can take this little circle here and just push it closer towards the red here in the lift and see what happens. And you notice, I'm bringing in more red. So that's really, really pushing the red up and making that blue hue come in. So let's pull it back the opposite direction. And you notice we start to get closer to a balance there in the shadows like that. And then if I want, I can just go into the individual channels like this instead of using that little slider and just dial it that way. So right now I'm adjusting the green and now it's looking a lot more balanced there in the shadows. And already I'm seeing that this doesn't look as blue with my eyes. And if I look at my scopes, it's definitely not as blue there. So let's see if I could take this shadow data down like that, or maybe just right about here. Yeah. So that looks fine. Next thing to consider is the highlight area. Does the highlights look pretty balanced here at the top? And again, it's fairly close, but I just still see a little bit more of that magenta hue coming in there. So let's go ahead and I can just do this from a global standpoint to start and see if that really helps it out. It most of the time it does if you're gentle with the sliders here. So I'm going to grab the offset. The offset is the global view of everything. Okay. And since the magenta side is in this quadrant here, I'm going to drag away from that magenta side and see what happens here. Yeah. So now we're raising up the greens a little bit, but you notice the image is starting to look more, have a little more white balance to it as I move it gently away from that magenta side of things. Yeah, that's a lot better there. So if I do a bit of a before and an after, you'll see a difference. So let me just turn this node off. Okay, so that's the before. And again, everything was sort of a little too exposed here at the top and clipping in the bottom. The shadows were raised up, so it doesn't have enough contrast in my opinion. And now I'm going to turn that node back on. And this is the after. You got a much better contrast and you don't have any kind of clipping at the top here in the highlights. Okay. Now the last image I want to take a look at is this clip here. This one is a bit challenging, and the challenge comes because you're dealing with a lot of different levels of luminosity here. And so you're going to have to fight against highlights clipping in certain spots of the scene. Then you're going to have to fight with the sun sort of backlighting or sidelighting your subject. So the subject is potentially going to fall into shadow and not be visible. But this shot, the artist of this shot actually did a fairly decent job, but I want to show you some things that you have to consider. So I'm just going to scroll through this frame here. Just scroll through this bit of footage. All right. So right about here is a good spot. Okay. So understanding the scopes. Again, we look at the top and we see there's clipping going on. Okay. Here in the RGB parade, there's definitely some clipping happening. So what are we going to do? Let's first drag that signal down a little bit just by going to the offset and pulling it back. So we're not clipping at the top anymore. And even at the bottom here in the shadows, we look okay. We're not really crushing the blacks. Everything is looking fairly balanced for the most part. Yeah, this looks fairly good to me. It doesn't look like it has a magenta hue or anything like that, or a blue hue. It actually looks fairly balanced. But again, understand what's going on in the scopes. If I just do selections of the screen and I put my pointer up here at the top in the sky, you'll see that there's not necessarily clipping there, even though it's a bright sky. If I move it here towards the wave here on the horizon, it's starting to get a little bit hot because that water is reflecting the sunlight. And you use this to sort of help understand, look, am I overexposed here in these spots? Nope, I'm okay. It's a little hot, but it's handling it okay. And then lastly, you take a look at your subject matter. The little girl here that's running on the beach, such a great scene. But unfortunately, she's hiding in the shadows because she's backlit in this one. And there's not going to be a lot of things that you can do on that. There are some clever editing tools such as a mask. We'll get into that in another episode. But I just want you to understand what's going on in the image versus what the tools are going to show you so you can, you know, analyze this for a future project. So as I put hover over her dress here, you'll see everything is pointing into the lower third of the scopes there to let you know that she's in the shadow area of data, if you will. So we want to have some fun with this. So let's go to our waveform now. If we look at our waveform, and in this particular view, like I said, I don't use the waveform for luminosity. I tend to use it more so for balance. Like I'm going to do white balance side. It's probably not the best practice, but it seems to work for me, you know? So if I look at this waveform, you have these blue channels showing up and the green, yellow, so on and so forth. you really want to try to get this to balance out if possible. And I'm looking at this waveform and seeing all the blue, and I have to say, okay, I can't push it too much. The reason, because the blue is showing up on this graph because it's a lot of blue in the image. Duh. You know, so you have to be cognizant of that. So I'm going to take the blue hue here and I'm just going to push it away, get closer to that green. And you'll notice that that top line will start to turn white. It'll get closer to white, giving us a little bit closer white balance, like so. And see, when you first look at the image, you're thinking, at least I did, huh, this looks okay. It doesn't have a green overcast, doesn't have a magenta overcast or anything like that. But then when I look at the scopes is like, nah, dude, you can balance that out a little bit more. So always trust your scopes. So I'm looking at that and that looks okay. And now, since this is in the upper third of the waveform, I'm going to take a look at the actual gain. Because again, you got to think in thirds. Yeah, the lift, gamma, gain, or shadows, midtones, highlights. So I'm going to look at the gain and I see that there's a green line right there. So let me try to take away a little bit of green. Pull that away. And it slowly starts to balance like that. And it's a bit of push and pull. And it's always fun just to try to find the perfect balance on this. And as I did all of that, I'm just now noticing the bottom of the waveform has a little bit of crushing going on at the bottom. So I'm going to lift those shadows up so they're not crushed. And notice as I do that, what's happening to our little girl here? See, right now she's in the dark shadows. But as I lift those up a couple notches, I start to see detail in her now. I mean, I can even zoom in and see that she's there. This is where it was. Really, really dark. Watch her hair. Pull it up. Starts to come back. And it looks good. But as I'm looking at this on the screen, I'm still seeing green right here in her hair. I'm seeing a little bit of green right here in her hair. And as I look at the scopes, notice what I see on the scopes. It's green there. So I'm going to take some of that green out of the shadows like that and try to balance it out some there. Yeah. And it looks, it still looks good, but this is actually a more correct from a color standpoint, frame now. So this is the before version of it, which I thought looked totally fine eyeballing it. And then this is the after, which is much more accurate. And you can have a whole lot more fun color grading an accurately corrected, color corrected image versus something that's way out of balance. And you have to use these tools to see what you're working with. And another thing to consider, okay, so I've been sitting here staring at this screen and, you know, my eyes are seeing whatever my screen is displaying. I need to make sure that my screen is properly calibrated. And I highly recommend get yourself a screen calibration tool like this right here. This is a Spider Pro. You just put it onto your monitors and it will measure your screen to make sure it's going to display all of your colors properly. If you don't have a super duper high end monitor, you better get yourself one of these. It definitely makes a difference. There was an instance where I was looking at my screen and working on something for a client, and it was just driving me nuts. As I'm looking at it, it had a green hue to it. My scopes were saying otherwise. My scopes were saying, no, it was more magenta. Come to find out, my screen calibration had expired. So I had to go ahead and recalibrate my screen, and voila, I was able to see exactly what the scopes were showing me, you know. So have to take all of these tools into consideration. All right. Well, we're going to dive into using scopes more at a later date. There's a lot of things that we can do with color correction and color grading in particular, and the scopes will come in handy. And then there's tools in here inside of DaVinci Resolve that's going to help you out. The whole node tree thing is so fascinating, so daggum cool, and it's free to use. So we'll get into that in a future episode, but I just wanted to show off understanding the scopes in the world of video editing. It's not quite the same as the photography side, but it's still fundamentally a great tool to use to help guide you through getting your images looking the way they should look. Okay. All right, folks, thank you all for watching each and every week here on the network. Again, please continue to tell other folks about the show. We're available on Apple Podcasts. We're available on Spotify. We're available on whatever app you use to listen to podcasts, quite frankly. And we're also available on YouTube, or you can just head on over to the website, twit.tv/hop. That's twit.tv/HOP for hands-on photography. If you have any comments, questions, feedback, image critiques, things like that, feel free to shoot me an email, hop@twit.tv. I answer all of the emails as fast as I can, and I do get quite a bit from you all, and I love it because you share some great images and you have some good questions and tips and things that you can even share with me. It's good stuff. And if you're someone that says, you know what, can you show my image on the show because I did this and I thought about this process, so on and so forth. Yeah, more than likely, it, depending on the subject matter, I enjoy sharing your images onto the show, but I won't do it without your written consent. So, yeah, if you have an image that you'd like to show off and just want some critique for it on the show, let me know. All right. Give me a follow over on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, I am @_Pruitt. On Instagram, I am @_Pruitt as well. Thank you for all of the continued support. Thank you for sharing the show. Thank you to my man, Mr. Victor, for making me look and sound good each and every week, even though I flub a lot. Love you, brother. Appreciate everything you do, my man. All right, folks, you all take care and safely create and dominate. And I'll see you next time.
If you are looking for a midweek update on the week's tech news, I got to tell you, you got to check out Tech News Weekly. See, it's all kind of built in there with the title. You get to learn about the news in tech that matters. Every Thursday, Jason Howell and I talk to the people making and breaking the tech news, get their insights and their interesting stories. It's a great show to check out. twit.tv/TNW.